A62. Number 9B.
All right. We had intelligence of spirit, intelligence of soul, intelligence of principle. This is a rather way out combination. When would you use the intelligence of principle?
Counteract the belief of a personal asset with intelligence of principle?
Yes. If the moment you feel that intelligence is attached to a person and is inherent in a person and dependent on a person, yes, then I think you could translate it out of that personal sense and say, well, it is a principle that is actually intelligent. Yeah. You want to say something?
It is used for dishonest purposes.
Or for dishonest purposes, yes. Because dishonesty is the counterfeit of principle, yeah. And you would use it that way. Yeah.
You also use it for developing hypotheses.
For developing hypotheses, yes. Yeah. That one feels is a hypothesis right or wrong. Huh? Naturally, that you would always deal with principle, because principle has no hypotheses, and see it as the only intelligence in the case. Yeah.
Theories too, because so many things that are simply theoretical are put forward as though they were really intelligent.
Yes. Yeah, one even says, well, that's a very intelligent theory, huh? As if there are dumb theories, huh? And there are, I guess, some, huh? Are very dumb. Yes, yes, yeah. When would we speak about the intelligence of life? Yes?
Your intelligence can come to an end.
Comes to an end, yes.
You reach a certain age and you're not have intelligence.
Absolutely, yes. So the claim of senility, what is, do you call it senile, huh? Getting senile and losing one's intelligence and one's memory, huh? Then the claim is that age would have intelligence, huh? Or that intelligence is dependent on age. Huh? And there you would use the intelligence of life, huh? Yes. So that mind is intelligence of life there. Mm-hmm. Yes? When would we use the intelligence of truth? Mrs. Eddy has a very nice statement about that. When would you use that? Intelligence of truth? Have you ever heard that somebody who is very shrewd has a lot of intelligence and can do things that to fool other people? Do you say shrewd when somebody, yeah? See? That therefore error, shrewdness, lying, huh, has an intelligence per se, that it is much more, that it's much more clever, that it's cleverer. Oh my, comparatives that get something out of the way. That it's cleverer than all the other people, huh? Than the intelligence of all the other people. So one believes, really, that lying, shrewdness, all these things have an intelligence of their own, and much more intelligence. So one has to see, oh no, huh? Truth is the intelligence. So she said, yes, that the terrific statement that truth is the intelligence of mind. Huh? See, that's then the positive sense of it. How would you use the intelligence of love?
That love has an intelligent plan, so.
All right, Sylvia, I think you have there something. You didn't want to take it because you didn't use a counterfeit. Huh? And so perhaps once as an exemption, huh, we can take a positive sense. And actually what you say is true. The moment you would, you see, the moment one wants to stress something very much, say, love, the plane of love, huh, and wants to stress that plane of love and say it has intelligence, huh, which is necessary for a plane, then Mrs. Eddy would also use and say, well, you see, in the intelligence of love, everything goes fine, and now she has to stress an idea of love, huh? Everything goes fine in the divine plan. So it is actually the intelligence of love that fulfills the plan. Now, I haven't used the negative, huh, this time. And this is possible. See, then it is not just the intelligence of mind, but because you want to stress very definitely that the plane has only fulfills itself because there is a terrific, far-reaching intelligence behind it, then, in order to stress that, you have to use love, because it's the plane. And then you can say, and this is governed by the intelligence of love. Huh? Yeah? And not by the intelligence of mind. Uh-huh. Okay.
How would you use it in reference to a negative?
In the negative, yes. You would like to say one, yeah?
Just in love, the conflict is ended, that there is no conflict in the...
There is no conflict in intelligence, yes. And conflict would be the counterfeit of love. Huh? Love knows no conflict. Mm-hmm. So that you would see there is no intelligence ruling in any conflict. Huh? So the intelligence of love that knows no conflict will solve the question, yes. So this would be the answer for you, yes. Yes, sir.
There's no intelligence in fear.
There is no intelligence in fear. Yeah, yeah. And this may be quite necessary, you know, in life, because when we are in fear, we let ourselves be guided, huh, by fear, because we feel that we need the intelligence guidance, and if we do that under fear, we are misguided, and turns out to be not really wise and intelligent. Yeah.
Could we, back in soul, it seems that we should have included body there too, because the claim of intelligence in body is a daily thing.
Yes, yes. Well, we had a similar one in spirit, because usually intelligence is combined not with the body itself, but with a certain part of the body, with the brain.
With brain.
And we had there that the belief in natural science or in biology, I don't know today, is naturally an animal that has a very little brain, has a very... very little intelligence, and that only when the brain gets bigger and bigger that actually intelligence can evolve and develop itself, so that man with his brain has a big enough brain to think intelligently. This would be the theory, so to say, of biology, and there we would have to see that now intelligence is spirit and spiritual. Yes. All right, we just go on. The other day, when I was asked from the class to make some exercises, we said, let's take an idea of spirit, and we said the unfoldment When do we use the unfoldment of life, I think we said. Unfoldment is typically spirit. Spirit unfolds, spirit develops, spirit evolves. Spirit gives birth to that evolution, so we have that whole sense of spirit bringing forth, evolving, giving birth, developing. And why should we say, or should we speak about the unfoldment of life?
We could say, for example, as life unfolds, it reveals self-sustained being.
Yes. That would be, again, a positive. Huh?
That's all right.
So you would stress that sense of, how did you put it?
The unfoldment of life reveals self-sustained being.
Self-sustained being. In order to show, you see, the moment you accentuate life through a sense of self-sustaining, for instance, that life has within itself the ability to support itself, to sustain itself, to maintain itself, to exist by itself, to provide for itself, and therefore get the sense that it's going on and on and on, therefore you speak of the unfoldment of life, because your subject is the self-sustenance of life. Yes.
If you wanted to touch the negative of life, the time sense is always a negative of life.
Yes.
Unfoldment, often we consider it in a time frame.
Yes.
That it takes a long time, and you would negate that with the unfoldment of life.
Yes.
As not having any element of time.
Yes. 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 Uh-huh. So that you would see that if the belief is there that a certain unfoldment takes a long time and needs time, that you feel, well, in the reality of being, it's actually the unfoldment of life, which is instantaneous, which is spontaneous, does not need the process, but is infinite progression. So infinite progression is actually the unfoldment of life. Yes, and that way you would use it. You see, you get already quite familiar with it, huh? All right, let's take another one of soul. What would you like to take from soul? An idea of soul. We always speak about the identity of soul. What is really the identity of soul? When would we speak about the identity of mind? To just figure out a practical proposition. The identity of mind.
It's not based on personal sense or on corporeal sense.
That would be the identity of soul, huh? Mm-hmm. Because corporeal sense is met by soul. Mm-hmm. You would have the identity of soul. But where would we use the identity of mind? Oh, very much, very much, huh? That's very life practical point, huh? Somebody else?
The identity of a creator is mind.
For instance, the identity of a creator.
Not a personal man creating something, but it's mind creating, and that's the identity.
Yes. Would you state the problem again before you give the answer? What could be the claim?
But a creation is up to mortal mind.
Up to mortal mind, yeah.
But the identity is not mortal mind. The identity is soul.
Mm-hmm. Actually, there you get quite a bit involved to see if the problem stated is that mortal mind seems to be a creator. Then naturally you would at once counteract it by saying that the divine mind is the creator. Identity would be a secondary question that would come in. Yeah. Whereas what would be a typical practical problem? Just take a counterfeit of mind. What is a counterfeit of mind? It's certainly the human mind, or the mortal mind, huh? The human mind. Doesn't the human mind say, I have an identity? Hmm? Doesn't the human mind say, I know what I am? Huh? You see, that actually the whole psychology rests on that. That we feel we know what we are. Huh? We know what we are. This is identifying ourselves humanly to human mind, to human knowing. Whereas the identity of mind would say, no, there is only one mind that exists, and that's the divine mind, because that's the only identity that exists about mind. Human mind has no identity. The mortal mind has no identity. See? It's a claim in our whole makeup, you know. Everything which we do humanly is based on the claim that our human mind is identifying everything. Doesn't it? Our human mind is identifying, and our material senses are identifying. Those two constitute, so to say, our world picture, our world view. What we think, that is identifying something. We give names, for instance, to things. Who is giving names, identities? The human mind. And so we must see, no, the human mind has no identity. The only identity there is the identity of the divine mind. Then you have corrected it. The identity of spirit.
Who corrects the belief that matter is alike in existence? Or that matter is the identity in matter?
Yeah. Isn't that what the whole natural science believe? That's their basis. Their basis is that matter has an identity, that matter is what it is. Don't they go out from that? They investigate matter and say, matter is that what it is. Each material element has its definite identity. It is either oxygen, or it is iron, or it's copper, or it's chlorine, or it's this, or that, or the other. The whole natural science is based that matter has a definite identity. We'll speak about these things, that material things have an unchangeable identity, that iron remains what it is. Huh? It's always iron, it doesn't change, it doesn't become suddenly gold. It has an identity, we would say, yes, yeah, but only spirit has identity. We would speak about the identities of spirit, that all the spiritual ideas have their identities. Yeah. Shall we take some of principle? One nice one is the system of principle. Will we be able to speak about system of mind? Does Mr. Daly speak about the systems of mind? Yes. Huh? Very, very definitely she speaks about the systems of mind. Systems even in the plural. And in which connection can we speak about the systems of mind instead of the system of divine principle? Yeah?
With materia medica divine?
For instance, huh? For instance, that you would say that materia medica has its systems of medicine. It operates on very different medical systems. Huh? You can have the allopathic system, you can have the chiropractical system, you have the psychosomatic system, the homeopathic system, yes? And therefore you could say, oh no, we can all trace them back to the system of mind, because mind is the medicine. Hmm? Mind is the healer, so there is the system, the healing system of mind, huh? For instance. Huh? The healing system of mind. You wouldn't say so much the healing system of principle. Yes? When would we speak about the systems of spirit? Yes, that's one very big point, huh? That the moment we would have a material system of classification, huh, and of ordering, a material system of diversifying, classifying, and individualizing, which one has always. See, you have in biology, for instance, you can classify the whole system of biology into I never know in the English term what you call it in biology when you classify it.
Phylum. Yeah, phylum and phyla. Phylum is singular. Phyla is plural.
Uh huh. I think.
Classes, species.
Yes. Yes. Uh huh. The only thing I didn't quite understand the term, it is phylum. Yes? Yeah.
H-Y-L-U-M.
Is it that system where you can take any plant which you don't know? And you can pick it and then classify it and then finally you find out the name. Yeah.
That's right. It's the Linnaeus system of classification.
Yes.
Then you've got 9 or 10 phyla in on the animal side.
Yeah, yeah. Starting that's what I meant.
Paramecium.
Yeah.
Leading up to primates, which is supposed to be us.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's a typical system of natural science, huh? To classify everything materially into classification in order to define them. Whereas we have a system of spirit, huh? We do the same thing. We also classify everything either in the 7 or in the 4 or in the levels, and so determine the place value of each single phenomena. But that's a system of spirit. Just as she also speaks about the calculus of spirit, huh, and uses calculus together with spirit, and not with principle. So we can speak about the system of spirit. Actually, what we do, you see, what we exercise, what we contemplate here, is the system of spirit. It's not the system of matter. Huh? Our basis are spiritual ideas, spiritual facts, spiritual categories, spiritual language, and so it is a system of spirit in that case. What then is the difference between a system, when I speak about the system of spirit and the system of principle? when it is intrinsically principle, when system is intrinsically principle, why don't I, what is there, the science,
so the system of principle is scientific.
Yes, yes. But the moment I speak about the system of principle, or the principle as a system, then system itself is under consideration. See, that's always the point. When it is intrinsically connected with a synonymous term, then we ask about the intrinsic nature of that term. Here in system is an intrinsic idea of principle. We cannot have a principle without the system. What does system mean intrinsically? Intrinsically means that a system shows us the relationship of all the parts with each other, classified according to categories. Then we have a system. So you see, when we speak about the system of principle, we are interested in the intrinsic nature of system. When we speak about the system of spirit, we are not talking about the intrinsic nature of a system. We say, no, the system of spirit means that the system is spiritual and concerns spiritual things and not material things. Can you see that terrific difference? It's a system of spirit means the system about what? Not what it is. Yeah? The system about spiritual things. The system of mind is the system about mind versus human mind. Whereas the system of principle is not the system about the principle, but it shows the principal sense of a system, the inner nature of a system, that it is that which gathers everything together into one coherent, consistent whole with definite interrelationship. Can you see that? That therefore, when an idea is used with its own intrinsic synonymous term, it really reveals the inner nature of that term. Whereas if I speak about the system of spirit, it does not reveal the inner nature of a system. It only reveals about what is the system. About how do you put it in English? About what the system is concerned. Is that English? Not quite, huh?
We'll accept it.
You accept it. Yeah. Okay.